This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly. 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is pre-recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer. And for that matter, what is the difference between recorded and pre-recorded?
Back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. We are live here inside the MDN studios, and Thursdays, 9 o'clock hour, it's the MGO Blog Roundtable. And we are going to be minus Ed Fang for the better part of a month. I'm sure that at some point Brian Cook is going to take a vacation. Right? Got a vacation coming, don't you?
I'm like Harbaugh. I don't get sick. I don't take vacations.
You never take vacations, man.
I do get sick.
Yeah, but see, you got little kids that at some point they're gonna say, Daddy, we want to go to Disney World.
Oh, yeah, that's not happening. I got to be like, no. I went there once. It was all right. Instead, why don't we just go to Pinball Pete's? Here's $20.
I dig that, Daddy. Just go.
Oh, man. Hey, you know what? They just raised the price. Total aside, nothing to do with retirement. They just raised the price on Disney World again. They've done it like every year for like 20 years.
Well, what do you expect? It's like, they got saps like you rolling in every year.
They do. They do. I do take my kids to Disney World every year. Anyway, we will look to connect with Craig Ross as well. You guys know Brian Cook from MGO Blog. You know, Brian, I wonder from a baseball perspective if this... Regardless of what happens from this point forward, we all hope that they win the championship. I actually feel like they are going to win it. I hate, you know, that feeling like it's a team of destiny. I've had it twice before, 97 football, 2013 basketball. One time they won it, the other time they didn't. Both times they made it, though.
Yeah.
Both times they made it. I feel like that with this team. Like, man, everything that you look to see, I mean, the amazing emotional stories they have, amazing pitching. They have a balanced lineup. They've been tested. I mean, they kind of inched in there. And then once they got there, they had to overcome the Creighton loss. And then they beat the number one team in the country in UCLA. I mean, all of these elements of a championship team, this team has them. So I feel like it's destiny. How do you feel about it?
Well, you know, going into the College World Series, I was just looking at, you know, draft status and that kind of stuff, because when you're a Northern team, you feel like a rank outsider, but that's not what this team is. You know, they had some bumps. They probably should have won the Big Ten, but they were a half game short or whatever. And they have a third round pick as their leadoff starter. They have a third round pick as their second starter. And Jeff Criswell is probably going to be in that range, if not a little bit better next year.
Mm-hmm.
So right away, you know, you have probably the three most important positions on any college baseball team locked in with MLB level,
right,
talent, and that goes a long way. So you watch Vandy play in this tournament and you're like, so I wouldn't call Michigan the favorite or necessarily a team of destiny, but they're in with a chance.
Well, you just hit on a team that is being called the favorite by ESPN is Vanderbilt.
And they look like it. I mean, they have the same kind of pitching depth that Michigan does, and then their lineup is scarier.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Michigan just needs to win one of these next two. Hopefully it's the next one, because then they can go into that championship series with that starting lineup locked and loaded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Criswell's going to pitch like he pitched, if Henry's going to pitch like he pitched, if Kaufman's going to pitch like he pitched, then I think they got a shot.
Yeah, I haven't seen. Have they announced who the starter is going to be for tomorrow's game?
I haven't seen that yet.
I don't you think?
I would imagine tomorrow for Michigan is probably going to be Kaufman.
I would assume so. He's the guy who's rested.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question is, like, if there's a point in that game where you need to bring in a reliever, is it going to be Criswell? Because, you know, he had two innings against Texas Tech where he looked electric.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that might be the question, because you could have all three of those guys in three hypothetical games in the finals, and that's a call I would right. have to make.
Right. But there's a chance that it sounds like they are planning on using them both.
Okay.
That's just the impression I got. You know, if Carl Coughlin can go out there and give you a complete game, great. Or Chris, if the other way around with Chris Weller, then you get into the championship series, and you go Coughlin. Even if Chris Weller Coughlin do a couple of innings, whoever got those couple of innings can come back and be the starter that next game.
That's true, because you'd have 2 days off, and then Henry would probably pitch the first
right.
game of the championship series. So if you just had a couple innings 3 days ago, I think you'd be fine.
Yeah. We kind of saw that. Was it UCLA? Yeah, we saw Chris Weller coming in relief, and then
he started
the next game, because he got like 9 pitches in that contest. But then you see all the stories in the lineup, man, and Eric Backich is getting a lot of attention, and rightfully so for this, because there are a number of guys that he went and he saw, you know, high school, and it's not all about showcases with him. He plucked Jesse Franklin out of Seattle. He was a guy that was player of the year in his league. One is a sophomore, and then he gets injured, falls off the radar, and Eric sees him, and you talk about a guy who's a clutch bat for them. But Jordan Wogu, if you go to 24/7 Sports right now and you put in Jordan Wogu's name and you put in Jordan Brewer's name, they come up as football prospects. Jordan Wogu is a strong side defensive end.
Wow.
And Jordan Brewer as a wide receiver. And Jordan Brewer, as we all know, we've heard the story, he was going to walk on the Michigan football team. Yeah. Injuries put those things to the side for both young men, and they wind up being big-time baseball guys. Jordan Brewer, third-round pick. Jordan Wogu looks like he's going to be at least that next year.
Yeah, he does kind of look like a football player. Brewer, not so much, but Wogu, yeah, looks that guy. I'd say he's a weak side end, personally.
Well, he was listed as a strong side end. That doesn't mean he would have been a strong side end. But these are guys that had baseball in their backgrounds, but they weren't baseball first guys. And so I was talking to Eric about it. I said, man, you know, Jordan Wogu didn't come in a 300 hitter. I mean, you could see he had he's an athletic guy, but I mean, look at a couple of the hits he had. I want to say, was it the first run against Texas Tech? He was in an 0-2 hole. He fights back the 3-2, gets a hit there. I think that was against Texas Tech. It all runs together for me. He got another big hit. He was in a 1-2 hole. He went the other way. I mean, the plate discipline, the eye that this guy has to have been a football first guy in high school, it speaks to player development. And what he said, if you find a great athlete that has baseball in his background, I can do the rest. And he's showing it.
Yeah, and Brewer has the same kind of situation. So against Florida State, they get the second pitch home run, which is great. They get a run on the board. Hooray. There's also been 2 batters and 2 pitches. And then Brewer, I think, works a walk on like a 12-pitch at-bat. And that kind of started their starter on the path towards like getting out of the game after 5 innings or so. And that didn't help Michigan out at all, because their relievers came in and were lethal.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt like Michigan was taking advantage of some inefficiencies. And, you know, Moneyball is something that MLB teams have now, all of them have their Alex Cruz, and it's hard to get an advantage. But I think Michigan's done it in a few different ways. One is recruiting intercities.
Uh-huh.
And when Backich was interviewed during the Florida State game, he crushed that interview as hard as you could crush it.
Didn't he?
He did. And you know, those guys are not getting scouted by Vandy. They're not getting scouted by Southern teams. And for Michigan to come in and have an outfield that's 2 MLB prospects who are black, and then they have K.O. Thomas, I'm sorry, he's got 1 letter for every syllable in his name. It's amazing. I've never seen that before.
I hear you.
And then, so they have, you know, a team that looks like America, which is not something that happens in baseball very often.
Right.
And then, you know, you look at the, like, play cards they have, which are great because they completely get rid of sign stealing. You just have to like look at your numbers and then signal in the numbers, and the numbers are different in every game. So that looks like a really efficient way to like stop having to think about a major part of baseball. And then the shifts they put on, so there was a hit right up the middle of that Florida State had that the pitcher dodged, and it went right to Thomas because they had shifted over so that hole was covered. And there were a couple other instances where you could see that the outfield had a plan, and it didn't really come to fruition because the positioning of the outfielders didn't mm-hmm. create an out. But there were a couple of infield outs that I think were created by Michigan's analytics.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you build the kind of baseball program that Michigan seems to be on the verge of building in the North? You take advantage of every possible inefficiency you can possibly find. And, you know, Baca just done a great deal.
Yeah, I think you just crushed – You just crushed the analysis of Bakich crushing that interview, because hitting inner cities and hitting high schools, not just inner city high schools, but high schools in general, because, I mean, you look around, and this is not just a baseball phenomenon, but, you know, all of these sports have a travel or AAU aspect to them.
Yeah.
And baseball is maybe it's maybe even more pronounced that's what you're recruiting from. That's what teams are recruiting from, the travel teams. And his take is, if that's all you're doing, you're missing out on basically an untapped supply of talent. They aren't going to be as refined. Now, that's true. You're going to get, I mean, when Jordan Wogu starts out last year, I remember some of the comments saying, oh, we got a great athlete. But said, it's going to be a minute before he.
Right.
But, the turnaround, and this is where you give the kid a ton of credit, you give the coaching a lot of credit. He goes from a guy who is learning plate discipline to looking like he might have the most plate discipline on the team in a year, Brian, in a year.
Well, and that's another inefficiency is that you – whenever I do these, like, write-ups for recruits, like, if they're a multi-sport athlete, that's a positive. Because, like, a guy like David Ojabo who comes over – from Nigeria and wants to be Scotland, sorry. Comes over from Scotland and wants to be a soccer player and plays soccer and plays basketball and, you know, it only comes to football late. Well, that's a guy who's got a ton of untapped potential. And the same thing goes for baseball. You know, if you haven't been exclusively focused on baseball, there's probably some potential there that a good coaching staff can unlock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as long as you have, I mean, granted, you got to have a foundation in it. You aren't just talking about a guy who was just picking up a bat as a senior or something. A guy who has a legit foundation, well, having played the game.
Almost what Ojabo did in football.
but I mean, I could see it more in football than baseball.
Yeah.
And so those guys had solid foundations, and man, have they taken. I mean, Jordan Brewer wasn't the starter at the beginning of this season. And now, look, he's a Big Ten player of the year.
Yeah.
So these guys, this coaching staff has a great eye for talent. They have certainly found a fertile ground that hasn't really been tapped, and they're tapping it now. And as much as I would like for that to just be their playground, I mean, you do, so more kids have opportunity, you do want to see other programs follow suit and start to do the. It's sort of like when the Red Wings when they got. Yeah, you know, Sergei Fedorov, right?
Sure.
They're going over and they're getting all the talent from bringing all the foreign talent over. You know, at that time, it was a novel concept. No one else was really doing it. You had the Russian Five. Like, who is this Konstantinov guy? Where's Fetisov? Who else? Who are the other guys? Kozlov. I mean, they had all these guys. Where are they coming from? Now everyone does it.
Oh, I forgot my other inefficiency that I think they're exploiting, and that's running on the base paths.
Oh, yeah.
So in Major League Baseball, you have professional catchers, which you do not have in college.
True.
And you have more velocity. So, you know, for Michigan to have this, it must be the most annoying thing in the world when any Michigan player gets on base for a pitcher. They're just like, I hate these guys. And they're constantly throwing over to first base, and it's just futile because these guys are able to, even the one time they got caught stealing in this tournament, and like they went to review, and the guys on the broadcast were like, yeah, he's safe. And they came back.
I thought that was such a big deal against UCLA because their catcher, and the commentator sort of pointed out, this dude's arm is like a noodle.
Yeah.
Like he can't get it there.
And that's like the best team in the country.
Right. But to your point, they're able to be the best team in the country without a catcher that can really hold runners in check because that's not something that teams really exploit.
Right.
Like Michigan exploits it.
So, I think Bakich has done a really great job of coaching and preparing this program to be where it is by taking every possible advantage that he can get. And I think that's really very good.
So we have seen like if you go to a softball game during the year, man, they're sold out. People are at Michigan softball games. Do you feel like you think that this is that moment? Rick Leach, he called in last week and he said he felt like the UCLA series was like the football program 69 game.
They'd have to sustain, you know, like because if the 10-year war didn't happen immediately after, it just would have been a blip. So I think Michigan got a good shot, but, you know, they keep talking about how Florida State's won 40 games for 40 straight years or something. And I don't think Michigan's going to be on that plane, but if they can consistently be like one of the top teams in the Big Ten, be competing for the title, I think you can see kind of a shift at what happens. Problem is that a lot of softball and baseball games go on at the same time. So
it's true. But I tell you what, rather than go to a Tigers game, it's like we go to Tigers games.
Yeah.
It's like, hell with that, man. Like, why go to a Tigers game?
Well, a Tigers game can happen in June when it's beautiful out, and a Michigan game cannot.
True.
So there's like, you know, I think about going to baseball games a lot, and then I look at the weather, and I'm like, nah, not going to do that.
I hear you, but you know what? I'll tough it out. I mean, these guys, you know, this team, and certainly this coaching staff. I mean, Eric Backich, he got a raise and an extension when Stanford came after him.
Yeah.
But dude, it feels like that day's coming again.
Sure, and if Michigan wants to make the best use of their resources, they'll try to keep them at all costs.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're making so much money that they can make some of their non-revenue sports if coaches the best supported in the country. And I think they're probably already doing it with the Hutch, right? Like, mm-hmm. She's got to be up there.
Absolutely.
So,
and, you know, you look around. I know that – I don't know that – has Florida State named their coach yet, Miz?
You know, I'm not sure. I can actually double-check that real quick.
Wasn't it supposed to be Mike Martin's son or
his
something?
His son has been an assistant for 22 years, and I think that's what is expected to happen.
But it hasn't been made official yet?
It hasn't. Also, they know that their coach is retiring, so Florida State people on the internet have put together lists of potential coaches that go 7-8 deep, and Bakich has not been on those lists. I don't know if this changes because of the World Series, but
and being the coach of the year.
Well, and he hasn't done a whole lot of recruiting in Florida, and so I think that that's one of the things that they're really focused on is that we need to keep the kids home.
Well, let's lock him up in a good way.
Yeah.
In a good way,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, this is, I feel like, I know it was handled before, but feel like, as I said, I feel like it is coming in where it's going to need to be addressed because other squads.
Well, their distribution just went up by like $15 million. So you can throw one of that at the head baseball coach.
Look at you, spending other people's money. I like doing
that's
that
my money.
I like doing that
that's
too.
My money. I watch the games. I know
other people's
the games.
Money, but
that's my
it's,
money
it's
too.
It's not a person's money, but yeah, I hear you.
It's my money too.
We got to get to a break. We'll be back on the other side. MGo Blog Roundtable with just MGo Blog this morning.
It's not much of a roundtable.
Here on the Michigan Insider of Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket. Here we have Brian Cook in. From MGo Blog for the MGo Blog Roundtable. It's just he and I and Miz today. We also have Ricky Leach on the line. Ricky, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Sam. How are you?
Doing great. What's up?
Well, I'm really glad that you have Brian Cook there because I'd like to ask his opinion based on my comment that you shared with him, right, Sam?
Yeah, you think that the 69 football game, 69 victory on the football side is akin to, or what we just saw on the baseball side with beating UCLA is akin to that.
So, you know,
they
hosted a regional, and I went to that regional, and it felt like the new era of Michigan baseball. And then they just didn't maintain.
Mm-hmm.
So that's if they maintain this level of performance over a long period of time, absolutely.
Okay, so two things, Brian. First off, did you know that you were sitting next to one of Flint's biggest bullies, and that has to do with dodgeball? I mean, since Gene Johnson and I left, Sam got a bad reputation, Brian.
This is big time athletics.
Did not know that.
Hey, man, you know, we were talking this morning. You probably missed it. There's this effort to ban dodgeball.
Some Canadian researchers said that it was a tool of oppression. And I was like, did you need to research to find that out?
You think dodgeball is a...
That's the whole point.
Are you kidding me, Brian?
That's like the purpose of dodgeball. Is that everybody throws the balls at me, Sam.
That's not true, Brian.
It is.
That is not true. It wasn't a one-on-one affair, was it?
No. And so what happens is that, you know, all the jocks get on one team and then all the other. And then they all pick one guy to bomb.
That's not how it works.
That is how it works.
That is not how dodgeball works. You take the class. You split the class in half.
Yeah, all the jocks are on one side.
That is not true. You have one jock on one side.
Okay.
Or the other jock on the other side. Let them pick the teams, and then you get them broken up evenly.
Uh huh.
And then you have the dodgeball thing, and it does not create bullies. It is not.
I didn't say it creates bullies. I said it's a tool of oppression, which it is.
It is not a tool.
It is.
Hey, Miz, do you have what the child psychologist said about dodgeball, just to bag Brian up a little bit?
I mean,
don't want to make it sound like we're ganging up on him over here.
I
think it's ridiculous.
I can find that video clip again real quick.
I think we're wussifying America here. Yeah. This is another example where we say, you know, we get participation trophies. You know, everyone's a winner. We don't keep score. Come on, Brian. Dodgeball.
I'm not saying that it shouldn't be played. I'm just saying they're correct about the purpose of the game. Like, I got through it. I'm a stronger person now. It's okay. But they're right.
Look at you now.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my point. I mean, Brian.
You're asking kids to hit other kids with an object, and that's no longer appropriate.
No longer.
We don't use kids as human targets anymore.
Former gym teacher Judy Lobianco says dodgeball teaches all the wrong lessons.
The aggressors are going after kids who are now made to feel weak and afraid.
Yes.
And the last thing we want kids to feel in school is weak and afraid.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me, Brian? Right.
I got my revenge in math class when these guys were taking tests and they're like, hey, what's the answer to six? And I'm like,
come on, drop. Come on, you got me, Miz. Come on, Brian.
Come on, Brian. Watch your profanity.
I'm sorry. I got a little feeling stretched up here.
I can tell. So
now I'm afraid to play like the sound effect of the rubber ball hitting.
Yeah. No. So dodgeball clearly was a traumatic experience.
I'm sorry.
But
I've done this for years, and this is the one time.
But Brian, I mean, look at you now.
I agree with you.
I mean, look at how you go back and forth. People come at you on Twitter, you smack them down.
I agree with you. I agree with her. I agree with both of you.
You can't agree with us both.
I think dodgeball is an evil tool of oppression, and I think people should get used to that early.
Okay. All right. Ricky, are you still there?
Yes. Hey, Sam, I was just going to say, am I allowed to ask Brian my question?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, Brian, this is what I want you to comment on. I heard one of the baseball experts the other day in talking about Vanderbilt he said Vanderbilt baseball is the equivalent of Alabama football. And not only are they stacked for this year, but they're stacked for the next 4 to 5 years. So my point was, when I brought up to Sam about the 1969 football game and how it relates, is because we're getting exposure, and they're talking about our coach and our school and our kids and our diversity. And I see a groundswell based on how everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. So they know the fun, they know what our coach believes in, and now our players are getting the shine and exposure that they haven't got for many years. And that's all due to our success. So I think this is going to open eyes, Brian, all around the country. And I'm interested in your feelings on that.
I mean,
appreciate you, Ricky. Thanks a lot, man. It got shot. I mean, absolutely. Like, you know, these are the kind of situations that turn programs back around. I mean, the thing that I just kind of gives me pause is the fact that, you know, this is the first time Michigan's been to the World Series in 35 years. Mm-hmm. It's the second time a Big Ten team's been to the World Series in 35 years. So if anyone's going to do it, it's Bakich, who actually had, wasn't he his assistant at Vanderbilt?
At Vanderbilt, yeah. He helped this run that they're on, this run of success that they're having. He was part of that, the foundation.
Right.
That got it all going over down there at Vanderbilt.
So, like, if there's someone out there who I think has a reasonable shot of doing this, it's Bakich. It's just that, you know, the system that you're coming up in is very hard to get through as a Northern team.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we heard from Craig Ross. He has a remedy for that. He thinks this move when the baseball season when it happens, we should shift it all around.
I mean, I still don't disagree with that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, on 8 days ago, June 12th was the most perfect day to go sit outside for a baseball game that has ever been created, and there will never be a baseball game in Ann Arbor on June 12th.
Mm-hmm.
So,
hey, but you won't get the West Coast, the Southern teams, you won't get them to agree.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing like to just go do it. You know, Big Ten Network needs some summer content. it just makes sense. Like, I think they should win the World Series and immediately take off and just be like,
we're doing our own thing.
We got the belt. See ya.
It is 9:41. I can't. I'm still stuck on this whole diet. But at least you agree that it should be played.
Well,
at least you agree it should be played.
I mean, I got my revenge back. Well,
your kids, are your kids going to play dodgeball?
Probably not, because they're in Ann Arbor schools, and I can't imagine that 10 years from now they're going to be playing dodgeball in Ann Arbor schools.
What? Why not?
But because of that, Ann Arbor schools are very forward thinking, and one of the things that they're probably going to be forward thinking about is like getting rid of dodgeball.
I'm just, what was so wrong all of these years? Look at you talk about the trying experience you had, and that is the point.
But keep it clean, though.
That is the point, that there is something about physical adversity, Mr. Cook.
Sure.
That you overcame. It grizzled you. It hardened you.
It made you
more ready for the trolls that come at you.
There are a lot of people who would say that has not been a positive in my life.
I think
mostly trolls.
Exactly, mostly trolls. So I think
I'm fired up about this.
I think that there are other.
Did you have some sort of triumphant dodgeball moment?
No, because to me it's less about dodgeball and more about the theme. The theme that getting rid of dodgeball fits into. I mean, everything that I laid out before, everyone that plays wins. There are no losers and participation trophies.
This will make you feel better. My kid's 3 and a half. And when we go up the stairs, I say, I'm going to win. And then it's not that bad. And then he's like, I'm going to win. And he starts running up the stairs. I was like, who can get up the stairs first? And he usually wins because he has a head start. And then he starts pulling on me. But sometimes I win, and then he collapses to the ground. He's like, I wanted to win. And I'm like, you didn't. And then we talk about it. It's like, you gave your best effort. It's completely fine. You usually win. So you're going to lose sometimes.
Hey, look, look, what I'm talking about within reason. You know, 4-year-olds, everyone should win. 5-year-olds, everyone should win. Yes, they should.
No.
At that age, there should be participation trophies when you're a wee tot.
You should like win sometimes, but sometimes not so much.
So anyway, I didn't mean to get off on that tangent.
Sounds like
Ricky,
you've been storing that one up for years.
James Corden on the late night show a couple of days ago. This is why this came back up. He did like a celebrity dodgeball thing where he had a bunch of celebs.
Oh, man, I bet everybody threw balls at Elijah Wood.
A couple of other celebs. And Inside Edition did this special. It was like, hey, James Corden just had this dodgeball game, and it's great for adults, but in kids, it creates bullies. It's like, where did that come from? No. So now dodgeball creates bullies.
Bad home situations create bullies.
How about the teachers? If they see a young Brian Cook getting singled out in a dodgeball game.
Hey, Sam,
how about the teacher actually teach in that moment?
So the thing about a young Brian Cook is he deserved everything that was coming to him.
I got you.
He was a very annoying person.
It is 9:44 on a Thursday morning. We need to get to a break.
Be back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.
Let's get to the phones and talk to Dennis in the OC. Dennis, you're on the Michigan Insider. We have Brian Cook in for the MGO Blog Roundtable. What's up?
Hey, Sam, thanks, Sam, and good morning, Brian and Matt, and the entire MGO Blog Trotskyite-free semicircle this morning. Sam, you're right on about the dodgeball. I agree 100%. I remember that from the long ago days gone by, and that was a great thing. And, you know, and as Brian said, yeah, and you guys were talking about Coach Package's interview and everything he's done has been so first class. That interview was great. And as you mentioned yesterday, Sam, also Coach Martin, I guess he's finished his career now, but I thought it was quite exemplary what he did in his interview. As you said, refusing to not give Michigan credit, he gave Michigan full credit for everything our team had done. And so this has really got us all seeing those maize and blue spots before our eyes here for this baseball team. And I'm wondering if you guys might chat briefly on something that gets remarked upon from time to time, which is sort of the positive effects of one team's success has for the rest of the athletic department and the other sports and for the university in general, and how these things can have like a halo effect and be positive for the entire enterprise of the University of Michigan and Michigan athletics in particular.
Well, I tell you what, I think it's positive for any kids that are looking to play football and baseball, like young Mr. Velasquez.
It's true.
Who was, you know, when he commits, first of all, he's an Ohio State commit. He was one of the top outfielders in the country, committed to play Ohio State baseball. Wanted a shot, though, on the football field. Michigan football gave him the shot, and they said, hey, you know, you can go over to play baseball. But there was... I mean, they didn't have this to offer at the time. I mean, there's an opportunity, going to be an opportunity there for him. But he can see what they've done with Jordan Brewer. He can see what they've done with Jordan Wogu. He can see that the opportunity for Michigan baseball is as good, if not better, than it would have been at Ohio State.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. The situation that Michigan's in is something that they might be able to take advantage of because of the... Michigan offers a unique combination of a bunch of different things. And, you know, we've seen that a lot with West Coast schools, especially Stanford, where Stanford is, you know, not exactly something that you would call an athletic powerhouse. But when you get down to those non-revenue sports and other stuff becomes more important for a lot of those kids, like they can really get after it at that level.
So switching gears really quickly before the end of the show, do you think Iggy and JP get drafted?
Yeah, I don't know more than the experts, and I've seen that. I think there have been 8 mock drafts posted, and Poole was in 6 of them, and Iggy was in 5 of them. So that's kind of like, I don't know, territory. So I'd say probably, but not necessarily.
And you got to feel, we were talking about this, got to feel really badly for Charles. I mean, this is where having the rule about not being drafted and allowing those kids to go back to school would be great. I don't know why that rule hasn't come to pass yet.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I feel like you should be able to maintain your eligibility even if you do get drafted. Like the way they do it in hockey is that everybody's just automatically registered for the draft. So that's how, you know, Quinn Hughes gets drafted by Vancouver and then comes back. And I feel like that's just a better situation for everybody, because then the pro team can be like, all right, we're ready for you now, mm-hmm. and we're going to sign you. And then the kid isn't, you know, kind of out there in the wind.
So how long does, in hockey, how long does a team, they draft you, how long do they own your rights?
They draft you and they own your rights until you graduate as a senior. And then you... can be a free agent August. So the downside of that is that a lot of teams will press to sign guys before they get to their senior year, even if they're just going to put them in the minor leagues. But that would be a big improvement now over what's going on in baseball. Basketball. Sorry.
Yeah.
Got my sports mixed up today.
Yeah. So we'll see with Iggy. We'll see with JP. Next year is about rehab for Charles. And it would have been great if he could have utilized this non-existent opportunity, because it sounds like he would have really, really considered doing it. From talking to people that know him, he would have really thought long and hard about rehabbing here and getting some more court time toward the end of next season. And I know they would have welcomed him with open arms. It would have been a great, great thing for him. So we'll see how that goes. In case you missed it, there was a trade last night. Pistons picked up a second first-round pick. in the first round pick, and I hate this. I'm only going to mention this name because we've talked about him in Big Ten, in our Big Ten conversations. They keep saying, projecting Romeo Langford to the Detroit Pistons at the number with the number 15 pick.
So if Langford is telling the truth that he had a finger injury that made him a poor shooter this year, then okay. But you know, yeah, he's a 28% 3-point shooter, so that's pretty rough.
Yeah, man, that's what's jumping out to me. But I didn't know the finger part. You just
yeah. So he said he played all year with an injured finger. So maybe, but you're at the 15th pick. Like, you know, you got to take a shot at somebody who's got a flaw in his game. So, you know, it depends. Like, I wouldn't touch Langford with a 10-foot pole if he's that kind of shooter. But if he's not,
That's a roll of the dice as far as I'm concerned. Let's go to the phones real quick. 734-998-1050. Talk to Jake in Ann Arbor. Jake, what's up?
I am pumped up. We are freaking 72 days till Michigan football. We're one day to the World Series. What a great time to be a Michigan Wolverine, from the baseball to the softball to the basketball in recruiting, the football in recruiting. You can't ask a better time to be a Michigan Wolverine. And all I got to say is one game, one play, one moment at a time. I truly believe these athletic teams have something to be, something special and stuff. I'll hang up and listen. Go Blue. Win or lose, I'll hang up and listen. Go Blue.
Thanks a lot, Jake. We've been talking about the big-time football recruiting weekend coming up, you know, for the past few days. But another storyline is all the five-star prospects that Juwan Howard has offered.
Yeah, they're going for it.
Yeah, this is
a little bit different.
Definitely striking how different it really is. I mean, he's throwing his hat in a lot of big-time rings here in the first few weeks on the job.
Yeah, and you know, I think they've got a good shot at a couple of those guys, like Jabri Abdur-Rahim.
Not quite a five-star yet, but yeah.
But like, yeah, he's going to be a guy who's probably a top 50 player pretty soon.
I agree with that.
And you know, Michigan was in on him before Juwan came, and they've got a couple of connections with him already. Like, I was like, Beeline leaves and they hire Howard, and he's like, oh yeah, I've known him since I was 10. I'm like, all right. Good. And I think Namari Burnett is another guy who's known for a long time.
Yeah, so Namari Burnett, you know, I was especially curious about. He was one of the guys I was especially curious about because that was a Luke Yaklich guy all the way. Yak actually coached him.
That's right.
He played with Yak's son Griffin on their youth team. So there was a relationship there. And so you're wondering, would Michigan be able to pick things up? But you go and hire a Chicago guy.
Yeah.
And Juwan Howard, Damari Burnett's a Chicago guy. You know, there are going to be some connections there. They're recruiting DJ Stewart out of Chicago, who's coached Juwan at some point. So, yeah, these basketball connections of his are giving way to some, you know, to some courtships that, you know, either we thought Michigan had a risk of falling out of, or some courtships that they didn't have going in the first place. They're not just now getting started based on the strength of Juwan Howard's background.
Well, so. have they offered Jace's teammate? There's a kid who's like a Scotty Barnes, maybe, who's a 2020, who's like fifth in the country on 24/7.
I don't think that they, not that I know of. I think he's a guy that was being looked at.
I'll
say that. I'll say that, but I haven't seen anything about him being offered. Right. I mean, the five stars off the top of my head that I know they've offered recently, they offered the Walker Kessler.
Max Christie, I think.
Max Christie just got offered. We just saw him down at the NBA camp. I could see them watching him intently. He didn't have a good NBA camp. Pat Baldwin, but his dad is the coach of UW-Milwaukee, but saw them watching him really closely. Let me see, who else? The kid from out west that they just offered last week. Why is his name escaping me? It'll come to me. Joshua Christopher.
Yeah.
Offered him last week.
He has a brother at Arizona State.
He has a brother at Arizona State. Yeah, that's right. So, look, it's not like any of these are real slam dunks.
No.
But he is definitely throwing Michigan's hat. And a lot of big rings, running more of those races than Beeline did. And I want to be clear, Beeline offered five-star prospects. Walker Kessler, right?
Yeah, the guys here there.
Yeah, there are guys that he was on. It's just there are more of them.
Yeah.
So far with Juwan Howard. So we'll see how it goes. See if he lands one or two of them. Time will tell. Brian, appreciate you. By the time we reconvene next week, hopefully we're talking about a World Series champ.
That would be insane.
Right?
That would be unprecedented in the modern era of baseball.
They said the last Big Ten team to win a World Series was Ohio State. I think they said in the
60s. 66.
Yeah, so.
Been a while.
It'd be amazing.
Better than us!
No!